Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
2023, last year, was the busiest year ever for public transport in Ireland. 308 million passenger journeys happened on buses and trains across the country. The National Transport Authority announced just last week that it will extend the discounted fares across Dublin after they were first introduced as a cost of living measure in 2022. But ultimately, should we make public transport free to encourage more people to use green, sustainable travel, or would that be expensive and counterproductive? Well, Stephen Matthews is Green Party TD for Wicklow and Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central. Stephen, I'll start with you. Do you think reducing fees in Dublin has contributed to those record numbers we saw last year of people using public transport?
Well, I think the reduction in fares, and remember, just to clarify, we reduced fares for under 26s by 50% and for everybody else by 20%. And it was a cost of living measure. To try and assist people with their travel costs. We've seen a massive uptake in public transport through the rural bus services as well, through Connecting Ireland. We've seen rail users return in numbers to pre-COVID numbers, which is very encouraging. And we've seen that investment go on in buying more buses, electric buses, more rail fleet, new rail services being brought into operation, huge investment going on in Cork, Limerick, Galway, Waterford and the Dart expansion. So that's where we need to be targeting our public transport spend, is to increase the network, increase the frequency, make it affordable and give people that reliability and choice of good public transport networks.
So capital investment, you're saying, rather than free fares, even though we saw that reduced fares pushed more people onto public transport.
Well, it didn't necessarily push more people onto public transport. It made it more affordable for people. Now, remember, we were coming out of COVID, so we're back to the pre-COVID numbers. And it's a combination, I would say, of that very good value for money in public transport fares with the continuous investment and increase in frequency and capacity and options for people in public transport that's encouraging people back to it. And that continued investment will go on. I think you do need to have a fare structure in place. I know there was an Ernst Young report done for the NTA that looked at this free fare type of system. And it did say that, look, it would probably attract people from walking and cycling onto public transport. It wouldn't necessarily reduce the number of people using the cars. I think there's a very minimal amount, about a 1% reduction maybe in the use of cars.
And do you agree with that? Do you think that's right?
Well, I would go by the research and the evidence and what we've seen in other places as well, and I would think it's right. What I want to see is continued and increased investment in public transport and continuing to keep it affordable. I mean, this 20% and 50% reduction, it's something that we as Greens battle for every year in the budget to retain that. It's not a permanent feature, and that could change with a change of government. And the priority on investment in public transport could also change with the change in government.
Okay, so Breed, if we were to go down that road of free transport, the expert report says, and Stephen agrees with it based on the research that has been carried out, if you had free fares, you'd just take people away from walking and cycling rather than get them out of their cars.
Well, I don't agree with the report, and we have looked at it, this last year's report, so this debate was had as well last year, and I don't agree with it because it models its evidence on the current trends where public transport is poor or non-existent across the country. That's part of the modelling. And so you come up with this 1% of people would come out of their cars if public transport was free. But yet, even in that report, there's 100 different municipalities and cities around the world that are introducing free public transport. And it's very varied, the experience. So one French town had 50% move from cars, as had Dunkirk in Scotland, and the Czech town had 20% and the Belgian town had 16%. But the report, as is, free public transport supply to Ireland, is looking at rural Ireland in particular, where public transport is practically not available or is very infrequent and poor. So I think that Stephen at the beginning, when he talked about and eulogised how the low fares had made all the difference, more or less made my case that if you give people something, a positive something, for leaving their cars behind, for getting onto public transport, they will respond to it. And what he doesn't take into account is that positivity, even just the idea that making climate action and measures for climate action a positive experience for people, something that is radical and giving back to them rather than always demanding of them that they change their behaviour, that they pay their carbon taxes or the congestion charges. It signals that the state is serious about climate action, is serious about cleaning up our environment. And I don't believe that it would amount to only 1%.
Yeah, you know,
leaving their cars behind.
There's a lot to be said, Stephen, for that. You know, making climate action a positive experience. And your party leader, Eamon Ryan, talks about this all the time, about the benefits, the advantages that are to be had if you change your policies. But Breed is saying, give people the carrot. Let them see that this is a good thing. That makes sense, surely.
So I think, and I'm sorry I was cut off there for a moment, Claire, and I missed the end of Breed's contribution.
But you understand the sense of it, that if you give something positive when it comes to climate action, that actually there's a benefit right across society for that.
So we have seen that because we've got very affordable fares now. We reduced fares for the first time in almost 70 years, and that has helped people go back and address the cost of public transport. But when you, if you take away the fare box from all public transport providers, they become purely dependent on central government then for funding. Now, I want public transport to have further investment. I want to see more trains. I want to see more buses. I want to see those rural communities provided with better buses and trains. And we do that through a central investment, but also having that fare box there to rely on as well. The cost of bringing in free public transport was estimated in that study to be somewhere in around $500 million per year. Now, that can buy you a lot of buses and trains and expand that rural bus network. It can expand those rail services into those cities like Galway and Limerick and Cork, where we need that balanced regional development. If you provide flexibility, opportunity, reliable, affordable, comfortable and secure public transport for people at those affordable fares, I think that's a very good deal. And that's what I would be prioritising.
So, Breed, when you put a figure on it there, you have to pause, don't you? I mean, is it worth $500 million, $500 million a year?
I absolutely think it is. In fact, I think what we should be doing is not counterposing the improvement in our public transport system against fare-free public transport. Both should go together, so we should have more buses going up and down rural Ireland and around our cities and working towards more trains and trams, which are long-term investments, I understand that. But $500 million a year, in the bigger scale of things, is not a huge amount of money. And when you look at the amount of taxation that the state already forgoes in terms of taxation on aviation, for example, which is estimated around $760 million a year. So I think that we shouldn't counterpose one against the other. We should look at the benefits from a societal point of view. And also remember, and I hope Stephen doesn't forget, that a lot of very hard-pressed workers do see, you know, the fares coming down, or indeed free public transport being a huge benefit to them. It would have such a social and public good for people being able to relate, what is this climate action about? Is it always going to punish me? No, it's not. It's going to help you. It's there to improve you. It's a good thing for society as a whole. Yeah. And it'll clean the air as well.
And Stephen, Breed is delivering your party leader's message there. Eamon Ryan says that time and again. He's trying to convince people that climate action is going to be beneficial. This would be a great way to send that message out there, wouldn't it?
This is why we continually invest in public transport. This is why in the programme for government we agreed a 2-to-1 spend on public transport over new roads. So we would have that long pathway, that trajectory for investment in public transport, which we are doing, and we're seeing that in bus and rail infrastructure. We're also seeing it in increased ridership across those modes of transport. But remember this, Breed, you will not always have the Green Party transport minister in place. And I remember some very, very poor transport ministers. And consider this, if you take the fare box away, it will be dependent on a transport minister battling for a transport budget. And you won't always have a green transport minister. And I remember a former transport minister tweeting a picture of himself on a bus like this was some novel experience, and another transport minister criticising railways and saying he liked trains, but he had a train set as a kid. Now, that's what you've got to remember. That's what we had in transport ministers previously. We've got a transport minister now who will continuously invest, who has reduced fares, and absolutely sees the climate challenge that we have in transport. We should reduce transport emissions by 50% by 2030, and we will do that with continued investment and increased opportunity for people at affordable fares. And we need to keep the fare box because transport needs to have its income as well as dependent on transport on central government.
When you consider how urgent climate action is, you know, when you look at the disaster we're hurtling towards in terms of the planet overheating by 2%+ and the impacts of that on all of events in our lives, that's a very poor and unambitious goal for a Green Party, either the Transport Minister of one, or one of his other ministers, to have said publicly on a broadcast. You should be much more ambitious, much more radical. And if you were, you may always be the Transport Minister. People would probably vote you back. But the way it's going at the moment, people see the Green Party's policies as being punitive on them, looking for them to change their behaviour, to pay more taxes, bringing in congestion charges, rather than being a positive that we can actually change society and deal with the climate crisis at the same time. And remember that transport accounts for over 30% of all our emissions.
This is a strange debate and conversation, Stephen, because Breed is here saying to you, take the win. It's there for you. Take it.
So I would counter the win. Like, we have the evidence of a report done to show if we're trying to reduce car-dependent transport emissions, we need to give people options. Better bus services, better rail services, greater frequency, greater flexibility, more options. We do that by continual investment in public transport. If you bring in free fares, it sounds really attractive, free fares. And look, Breed's party would be free everything. You've got to finance it. The fare box is important to have there.
But Breed has told you how you can finance it. She says there's 760 million sitting there if you were to tax the airlines on their fuel.
We're conflating different things there. We have a transport budget. That's a taxation measure, and we would support taxation on aviation fuel, and we're working on that. But we have to battle every year for a transport budget, so we continually invest in the expanded DART service. We have a very low electrified train service, one of the lowest in Europe. We're going to increase it from 50 kilometres of electrification up to about 150 over the next couple of years. We're seeing electric buses being bought. We need to have that investment in public transport. You need somebody who gets it and says, look, 50% reduction in transport emissions is a massive challenge. It's the biggest challenge we have in the climate challenge that we have. Transport is really difficult.
Let me come back to Breed on that, because maybe free public transport is a good idea, but it's not a good idea until we get our network up to a point where it is very low emission or zero emissions.
Well, that was my point from the outset. You don't counterpose one against the other. You do both together. And the urgency of the situation really screams that at us. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the Green Party. I'm very concerned about the environment and climate change, but I have a different approach to it. That's why my party is called People Before Profit. We need to put the planet and people before the profits and the economic system that we have. And that's why, if Stephen was to be honest with me, we could. Aviation is also transport. It's not, and that's why I mentioned it. There are other ways of getting taxes, but aviation is also part of the transport department, and you could get money from that you're foregoing year on, year out because of some arrangement with the big aviation companies. Mm-hmm. Now, I just think that you need to put a bit of a sensible thinking hat on you here and think about ordinary people and how much it would mean to them, how much it would mean to them to see, oh, climate action is radical. It's good. It's doing stuff for me. It's not all about me having to come back.
All right. Listen, we'll leave it there for now. But Breed Smith and Stephen Matthews, thank you both for joining us on the programme.